You should probably get more sleep. I should probably get more sleep. But patients suffering from concussions or traumatic brain injury really need to get more sleep. The Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center are releasing new recommendations and products for doctors to use to help their patients with brain injuries get enough rest. It's a critical problem for the Defense Department, which estimates that 300,000 troops have suffered from TBI since the beginning of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center Deputy Director Kathy Helmick joins us now, and with her is Teresa West, a subject matter expert at the center. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so Kathy, why don't we start with you? What are you expecting the impact of this program to be on DOD and VA as they treat patients?
Well, the suite of products related to sleep will help healthcare providers to identify, diagnose, and treat sleep disturbances associated with concussion. We know from our research that early diagnosis is very important because it allows for early treatment, and early treatment leads to the best possible recovery for TBI patients. So we expect that people will have better sleep quality, and the symptoms that are associated with concussion will abate.
And just briefly, is concussion and traumatic brain injury the same thing, or is one worse than the other?
Yes, sir. Those are synonymous terms. Concussion is otherwise known as mild traumatic brain injury.
Okay. And Teresa, tell us about sleep and why that is something that can't be a new discovery.
Definitely not a new discovery. And sleep is a vital component for being and feeling healthy for all of us. And I'm sure that all of your listeners know how much better they feel when they get adequate sleep. And with concussion, it's also even more important. As research, as Ms. Helmick mentioned, lets us know that adequate sleep promotes an environment for recovery and healing of the brain tissue. And it can even improve some of the common symptoms of concussion, such as headache, fatigue, difficulty with attention or memory. And sleep disturbances are actually the second most common symptom following concussion that's reported, with headache being number one.
All right, so sleep is the goal of this, I guess, good sleep. What are the new tools that you have developed to help people make sure that sleep happens?
Well, we developed these new clinical recommendations to help the healthcare providers in the identification and treatment, as Ms. Helmick said, of sleep disturbances that often occur following concussion. We recommend that the treatment without medications be initiated, promoting a good environment for sleep and to support good sleep. Some of the things that we recommend are relaxing before bedtime, daily physical activity, but not exercising too close to bedtime, which is often a problem. Getting up at the same time every morning routine, sleep scheduling is often also an issue, especially in our military population. Removing electronics such as your TV or your smartphone and your computer from your bedroom, and avoiding alcohol, nicotine, caffeine, and other stimulants within 6 hours of bedtime is also a good idea. So we also, sometimes short-term use of medications may be used in some cases, in addition to the lifestyle measures that I discussed previously. But medications not recommended for the first-line treatments, and some medications may actually compound the sleep problem. And the new clinical recommendation suite contains information for healthcare providers and fact sheets with the healthy sleep components that I mentioned for patients.
All right. So, Kathy, that's a long laundry list of things, recommendations, tools. How do you get those sent down through all of the facilities at DOD and VA to make sure everybody's on the page here?
Sure. So DPIC's clinical recommendations are distributed widely throughout the military and the VA healthcare system. Additionally, these products are available for download on our website at dvbic.dcoe.mil.
Well, we'll put that on our website for you. So.
Thank you. And we also promote these recommendations in the media so they can be downloaded free of charge by civilian healthcare providers that we know are caring for our National Guard and Reserve folks.
Okay, so what about the feedback? I mean, what are you hearing from the field that might not have been doing this extensively in the first place?
Well, the feedback is thus far, they've been released since the 25th of June. So acute feedback is that people welcome the opportunity to look at non-pharmacological, non-medicine approaches to regulate sleep. We're also hearing that as the sleep is regulated, other symptoms that are very common after concussion, to include problems with memory, attention, and headaches, are also improving once sleep is much more regulated. And these are simple strategies that are easy to use.
So better sleep produces better sleep, I guess, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
So, Teresa, what about – so it's not a good idea to use pills, like there's that pill they advertise on television with the butterfly flying around. So you're saying don't do that. What about, like, running a fan or having some kind of white noise in the background? Does that help?
That is helpful as well, yes. So the medications, although sometimes short-term use, as I mentioned, is needed for individuals just to get them back on track, the lifestyle measures actually promote a better environment and can be maintained for a long period of time. The sleep medications often disrupt the natural pattern of sleep and your brain's ability to fall asleep on its own subsequently. So that's what we do. But as you said, white noise machines, eye mask, earplugs to filter out some of the noises. Those are some other common, very simple things that people can implement and put into their routine.
We're speaking with Kathy Helmick. She's Deputy Director of the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center. And Therese West is a subject matter expert in the Division of Clinical Practice and Clinical Recommendations at the center. And Therese, another question. Many times people that may have TBI also have some post-trauma issues that I understand they're not the same thing, but does focusing on mitigating the effects of the trauma, does that help with the sleep that can help with the TBI?
Certainly, yes. What we recommend with our recommendations are that we tell healthcare providers to first differentiate, are the symptoms that the person's complaining about. Tell them to ask the simple question, are you experiencing frequent difficulty falling or staying asleep, excessive daytime sleepiness, or unusual events during sleep? And that one simple question can help to weed out where those symptoms are coming from. Are they sleep-related? Subsequently, we also instruct the providers to possibly give someone a referral for if they're determining that these sleep problems are due to unusual events such as nightmares in their sleep due to a traumatic event, that they also refer to a behavioral health specialist for further treatment for those problems while they're treating the sleep problems. Because we've often found that they go hand in hand. If someone has another diagnosis of a medical condition or a behavioral health condition, that they can, if you treat that condition with the sleep, that both things improve.
And of course, a lot of veterans, a lot of people in therapy situations find that pets are often a useful way to, overcome some emotional difficulties. Can having the dog up there on the bed with you help with a nap?
Well, I think that's an individual kind of a thing. I don't know. But I do think that petting, that they have been, a lot of research has shown the common effects of animals and having a pet to care for and to be with during the day as far as companionship goes does help. A lot of a whole host of medical conditions, such as high blood pressure and whatnot. But I'm not so certain everyone that the dog up on the bed with you is for everyone.
All right. And Kathy, so what's next for the program? How are you going to measure results? How are you going to make sure that the clinical center are following this advice and getting some feedback?
Well, DFPCC has 11 military treatment facilities that are part of our consortium. We were mandated by Congress in 1992 to serve traumatic brain injury patients throughout the Department of Defense and Department of Veterans Affairs. So we will be receiving feedback. One of the key pieces to our clinical recommendations and tools is that they hopefully are clear and they're very concise. So we're looking at 2 or 3 pages, algorithms to stick in your white lab coat that can help navigate these processes. So our hope is that these are user-friendly. We will be using those 11 military treatment facilities to receive feedback on its utility, its clinical usefulness in the field to ensure that we are maximizing what our mission is here, which is to provide that state-of-the-science guidance to the field as the research leads us to understand how best to treat concussion.
And this is going to be a growing issue, right? I mean, as the veterans return home, we kind of know what the population is, but are you still seeing a spreading of the TBI and PTSD syndromes as we get past the end of the wars over there?
Absolutely. But I think with our robust screening programs and detecting the injury as early as possible allows for that treatment to begin so that you don't have folks out there suffering, not knowing exactly what's going on with them. So raising awareness about the common signs and symptoms of concussion and PTSD is extremely important so that we can get people in to therapeutic care and effective care.
And very briefly, are you working with the sports world also, or are they working with you? Because that is an area of high concern these days in sports, especially young people, with respect to the concussion.
Absolutely. DVPIC fulfills its mission through ongoing collaborations within the DoD Veterans Affairs and civilian healthcare partners, which includes the sports community, the NCAA, the NFL. The Army has many initiatives with the National Football League to look at safety, prevention, sideline evaluations, and other research.
All right. Kathy Helmick is Deputy Director of the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center. Therese West is a subject matter expert in the Division of Clinical Practice and Clinical Recommendations at the center. We thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.